I heard a minister of the faith say recently a statement about Bible commentary that I'd never heard before. He said the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. I liked that. In other words, he was saying, to help us most fully understand and interpret Scripture, we need to read Scripture with Scripture. Reflect upon it by what it says as a whole. Consider in our reading and understanding and searching to interpret and live out the faith what we know about the faith and the Word and the Gospel as a whole. What we know about where it was written, to whom it was written, what was going on behind the scenes, the world of the text and behind the text, and how that speaks to our world and our lives. So with that call to faith that I heard recently, I thought as I reflected upon this text today, when the puzzling question came to me, who are these people that Jesus is talking about? Did you hear it? Did you catch that suspicion this morning? When I read here this writing from John that speaks and quotes Jesus in saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one who cares for the sheep, who comforts them, who nurtures them through every challenge and adversity or attack that they face. I'm their shepherd. But then he raises that suspicious, inquisitive note when he says, there are some sheep that are not of my fold, but I claim them as well. I've got to bring them into the fold. Now, who are those sheep? It might raise the question for us, and it certainly did for me. So I went and took the words of the call to the preacher of the gospel who says, use the Bible as your commentary, and I sought some commentary on this commissioning of Jesus to bring them all to Him. I looked at the Gospel of Mark, and I was inspired with that with our Bible study this week in our study of the Holy Land. And I was reminded of a special journey that Jesus took once while ministering in his adopted hometown of Capernaum. He went just across the Jordan River. But it was more than just traveling across the Jordan River. In that culture and in that time, across on the other side, as the scripture often says, when Jesus went to the other side, it was an entire different world. On the other side was no longer the religious folk, the Jewish people, the churchgoers. No, he went from the Bible Belt to Las Vegas when he crossed over the river. A place where the moniker wine, women, and song may have not originated, but it sure would have fit in good. That's where Jesus goes at some point in our text. And let's hear together what happens when he gets there. In Mark chapter 5, he begins there by saying they came to the other side, speaking again, reminding us not just the other side of the river, but very much the other side culturally, religious, and how people interacted with one another and treated one another. When he stepped out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs. And it tells us here that no one could restrain him, even with a chain. Can you imagine? He'd often been restrained at times with shackles. But then the chains even he would wrench apart. And the shackles, he broke in pieces. Wow, what kind of maniac was this? No one, it tells us, no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. Now consider the state of this man. It tells us if we caught that night and day. If that says anything to me, it tells me that this man couldn't even sleep. Even during the nights, his body was tortured and his mind was ravaged. He abused his own body, the text tells us, and others didn't want him around either. He was a threat to the culture and all people around. They tried to shackle him and chain him to protect him from himself. But yes, let's be serious and honest. Most importantly, to protect him from us. This was the depravity of this man that met Jesus on the other side in the land of Las Vegas. The text goes on that he had an exchange with Jesus. He shouted at Jesus. Not the warm reception Jesus would have expected, I guess. Imagine the first greeting that we have. Stepping into a foreign area, foreign culture, and being met with an abrupt shout. A defensive response that says, "What do you want, Jesus?" And then an appeal that Jesus not torment him even more. See, that's all this man has known. His torment and terror and desolation in his life. His body had been physically abused. His emotions and his spirit were beaten down to such a point that no one wanted him around. He wanted to be around no one else. He just wanted to be left alone. Have we ever been there, church? Sometimes it feels we're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. This man had met temptation, rejection, desolation at every turn in his life. And he thought Jesus must have been bringing even more. But Jesus, after an exchange with this man who calls himself Legion, as if to let him know that's how many demons, that's how many unclean spirits were in him, a legion with 6,000 Roman troops, as if to say, "My body is completely ravaged, there's no hope." And Jesus cast them out into this beautiful passage where the demons enter into the swine and run off into the sea to torment the man no more. He's completely destroyed their grasp upon his life. And the scripture tells us that when that happened, the people were amazed. But they didn't accept Jesus. I hear an all too human response there. It's recorded this way. It tells us that in verse 14, the swine herders, the one who were keeping the pigs, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. And then the people came to see what had happened. They wanted to know. And they saw Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the demons. Here's the man, listen to this, sitting there, clothed. The man was now clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had been legion. And the people were afraid. Begs the question, what were they afraid of? Were they afraid of Jesus? Were they afraid of being restored? Were they afraid he was going to take something from them? Some translators view it that way. He's just taken away their pigs. He's taken away their livelihood. Their wholeness spiritually was less important than their pocketbook financially. Maybe that was their fear. Maybe that was their God, their own security. How tempting that is for us, right? For us to put our security, our value in what we have. Haven't we all struggled with that at some point in life? Jesus responds. It tells us about the exchange where the man, in response to the people not wanting Jesus there, the man wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus responds to both. He gives one group what they want, and another he doesn't deliver. As we talked about that in our young disciple time this morning, haven't we all found our times at our wit's end in our prayer, and we wonder where that answer is? When's God going to give us what we want? When we want it and how we want it? The appeal of the man in the face this morning didn't seem that big of a request, did it? It says that the man who had been healed asked Jesus if he could go with him. And Jesus refused him. Here are the words that the writer records it in Mark 19. He says, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has shown mercy to you. Raises a question, why? Why couldn't Jesus allow him to go with him? Why wouldn't Jesus give the man what he wanted? When he gave the people who rejected him instead what they wanted. Because the text tells us that they begged Jesus to leave, and what did he do? He left. You know, our God is an amazing giver and lover and comforter. But one thing our God is not, and in the life and ministry of Jesus, he is not rude. He doesn't go where he's not wanted. If we refuse him, if we reject him, then he honors our wishes and does not dwell where he's unwanted. But who are the people? The question comes back to us that Jesus speaks of, saying that they are a part of my flock as well. My herd, my sheep, as the good shepherd, I have to bring them in. Friends, it seems as Jesus journeyed symbolically and literally to the other side this morning, he's saying to us people of faith, or to us people not even of faith, of us people in a broken world. Let's break it down there. To us who may feel at times like the man Legion, abused, rejected, hopeless, tortured, unable to even sleep with the worries and cares and the frustrations of life and family and work. And that was the one that Jesus embraced and brought healing and comfort. Friends, it seems the other parts of the fold that Jesus is talking about is the other in all of us. When we're on the other side, when we feel that we've tried it all, we've reached out to everything, we've worked our fingers to the bone in this blue-collar culture that tells us if we just work hard enough, we'll get through it. And we've done all we know to do. We find ourselves still empty. It's then that Jesus comes to us if we will surrender like the man Legion in our brokenness, and cry out not in rejection, but in hope. What will you do for me? Jesus of Nazareth. Mark records it that as Jesus left this distant land, the land of the people of Gennesaret, or the Gerasenes rather, the lake was Gennesaret, he left the land of the people of the Gerasenes and he went back to Capernaum. And it tells us, it records here, that he continued to minister in Capernaum. He went back to his hometown. They didn't want him there so much either. You see, they envisioned Jesus just being for them, being a messianic ruler. That's what their view of the Messiah was. What does that mean? They viewed that he was going to come in, set his reign here on earth, kick Rome out, and proclaim his kingdom on earth. That was their view of the Messiah. But Jesus had bigger plans. And his reign wasn't on this earth, and it wasn't only for his people. He goes back and he performs miracles. And he sends forth the 12 to go and minister and proclaim his ministry to the world. And then the beautiful passage where he feeds the 5,000 near his hometown of Capernaum. It's recorded there in chapter 6. And then a funny thing happens, friends. Follow with me here. Jesus feeds 5,000 people in chapter 6. One of the most celebrated miracles of our faith. Friends and family, those who were good Jewish people, people of his faith, people who looked like him, who had the same social status as him. And then, just a couple of chapters later, in chapter 8, we hear where Jesus feeds 4,000. Now, what's going on here, Mark? Why is it so important that you tell us that Jesus fed 5,000 and then Jesus fed 4,000? It would be easy to overlook that second miracle if we didn't know in the words of Scripture where it occurred. It tells us here in chapter 7, beginning at verse 31, that Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. Now all those are a lot of fancy words to say this. Jesus went back to the other side. Why did he go back? He'd been rejected. He'd been denied. He offered his love and restoration to those people and they said, we don't want it here. We've got control of our life. We don't need you. Thank you very much, Jesus. But something in the unrelenting love of our Lord. Don't you like that word? The unrelenting love of our Lord. He went back to the people who'd been in brokenness. To the people who had once denied him and rejected him. He went back on just a whim. Maybe just a whim. There's a chance that there'll be one or two there that still want to see the gospel, that need restoration like the man Legion. Maybe there'll just be one person in need. And what did he find? He found 4,000 hungering. Yes, physically, but also spiritually. To be filled with the word of life and restoration of their souls. And you know, the question arises, where did they come from? Where did these 4,000 come from? How did they hear about Jesus? These 4,000 in Las Vegas. These 4,000 on the other side. These 4,000 who weren't good church-going folk. Where did they come from? How did they hear? You remember the prayer of Legion? Who said, Jesus, let me go with you? And Jesus said, no. Stay here. Tell your family. Tell your friends what God has done for you. Legion, the once broken and rejected, became the evangelist of the saving Lord. Friends, may we go forth, inspired to share the hope, the life, and the love of our Lord with the world in need. Amen.